You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The time is just on 4 o'clock, and it's time for us to welcome back to the studio Steve Reed on the Entrepreneur Zone. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hello, Richard. Hello, listeners. I am so well. Thank you for asking.
And with you, you have a guest, although you're not really a guest. Yes. His wife, Dale, is here as well. And the two of them are together in the business, partnering in the business.
Correct.
Now. And Dale and Steve are going to share with us about the growth mindset and changing the way you think about to fulfill your potential. So without any further ado, over to you two.
Thank you so much, Richard. And listeners, just a quick recap, just a reminder of the format. I start off with a book, and then I bring in someone who talks to the essence of that book, what they've learned, how they've applied it. And Carol Dweck, in her seminal work, describes that there are two main ways people think about intelligence or ability as having either a fixed mindset, and in this mindset, people believe that their intelligence is fixed and static, or a growth mindset where people with this mindset believe that intelligence and talents can be improved through effort and learning. And the difference that that makes can be life-changing. So, it is my joy to introduce my wife to you. Her name is Dale, and it's quite refreshing to have her with me talking about this, because when she talks about a subject, it will be quite authentic, because she's not a huge fan of public speaking, etc.
She's very, very nervous.
And she's a little bit nervous, but you know what? I have seen that when she when there's something that has gripped her, then there's an authority there. So, Dale, I'd love you to introduce yourself, and then we're going to go straight into the sharing on the growth mindset.
Okay. Good afternoon, listeners. It's really good to be with Steve this afternoon and to talk about something that we've become quite passionate about. We've been married for 44 years this May, and I'm recently retired after teaching for 35 years.
And I've had the joy of being, as Dale said, married to Dale for 44 years, but also observed her serving others by being a great teacher for 35 years. Dale, I mentioned that Carol speaks about two ways of looking at life, either through the lens of a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. And I wonder if it's not a great place to start if you can talk about two examples of yourself working through a fixed mindset.
Yes, that I can do. Two examples come to mind, and the one would be I definitely had a very fixed mindset regarding technology. But when COVID happened and we had to teach online from home, and I taught from home for 6 months.
And you had to do that in the space of a few days.
Well, we had one day to learn, and then we were at home, and I actually got into such a panic, but I did persevere, and I practiced, and I teach grade R, so it was literally teaching them to read and write and do maths all online. And using the technology involved with that.
And you had one day to transition.
Yes.
And what happened?
Well, after practice and teaching every day, I actually became quite efficient. And I also had a colleague who came alongside with me and helped me along the way. And I would say I became a very good online teacher. Mm. So my fixed mindset became a growing mindset regarding technology.
One of the things you did and you were willing to do was to ask for help, and that's a sign of a growth mindset.
Yes.
The person with a fixed mindset thinks, if I ask for help, it means I am silly, stupid, I can't do it. But the growth mindset doesn't look at it that way. Mm. But that was COVID. And I remember how you transitioned. It was amazing. And a second example of your movement into growth mindset?
Well, the second one that comes to mind would be the whole era of public speaking. I really believe that you were born with that gift. And I believe that I was not born with that gift. But in the last 10 years, I've risen to quite a few opportunities to speak publicly and to do speeches, to take assemblies. And that's helped me to grow in that area and also in my whole mindset about public speaking.
I can remember in November last year, at your final day, you held the assembly, and without overestimating and saying that you were amazing, you were. It was a real reflection of how you've grown in the growth mindset in public speaking. But today, what we want to do is we want to take the particular angle of the growth mindset and children. That's been your passion, and you've done so well as you've shared with others. So you taught for 35 years, many schools. Where were you teaching in the last 9 years of your time?
Okay, so the past 9 years, I was teaching at a school in Lansdowne, an Ambleside school called The Vine.
Okay, and you soon discovered that that school, perhaps unlike some of the previous ones, functioned from a place of the growth mindset. Tell us a little about what did that look like? How did it show at the school?
Yes, I'd love to. As teachers, we were continually trained in how to encourage the children to function from a growth mindset in skills and in character. We also believe that every child can grow in skills and in character and enjoy the process of learning. From the very first day, and remember I taught grade R's, we taught the children the word yet. And that's to develop perseverance. So if they were struggling in a certain area, a little hand would go up and say, "Mrs. Reed, I can't do this yet." And then I would get alongside, or the teachers would get alongside, and then just help with a little strategy to help the child to accomplish that. We also talked about respect and kindness every day, visited that regularly, and we used the language, "What could you have done differently?"
Sure.
If there was any lack of respect, what could you have done differently?
Amazing. So Carol's book, a large section of it is devoted to her experience with kids, with schools, etc. So it really is relatable. So what about a child that struggles academically or in character? What do you do then?
Okay. So we would develop an individual strategy for the child and then get alongside the child, putting the strategy into practice and ensuring that growth takes place. And in many cases, we would involve the parents as well, so that would be happening within the home.
Okay, so it's modeled not only at school, but it's repeated and embedded by the parents. Okay, excellent. So can you give an example of how you applied that with kids?
Okay.
And again, you know, I had the privilege of coming into the classroom, and the classroom was just positioned and filled with furniture and things that just made it look magnificent. And I also saw how those kids, those young kids, would, throughout the assembly, they would sit quietly, and I'm thinking, how on earth is this happening? So tell us about, give an example of how you applied the growth mindset.
Okay. Well, I'll take one example, would be attention or attentiveness, which is a big one with teaching grade R's. So firstly, at the school, we used the method of narration. So whatever we taught, whether it was maths or reading or literature, we would stop every 2 minutes or so and ask one of the children to narrate back or tell back what they heard. And this, of course, we would just call upon any of the child. So this would cause an attentiveness.
Because then, they didn't want to be asked a question and then, oops, I didn't get it. So
they learned to be attentive. And then if there was a child who really, really struggled, it would be good to maintain eye contact with that child, to give an instruction, let that child tell back what the instruction is, then make sure it's followed through. And then the parents would do the exact same thing at home. So we would work with the parents.
Just to be clear, how old are these kids in grade R?
Five turning six.
Five turning six. So narration. What are some of the things that come from that practice of narrating back whatever it is, maths, literature, whatever? What are some things that happen in the child over time because of that?
Yeah, well, I think whatever they hear, it becomes solidified within them when they narrate back.
Yeah, and they learn to interpret it and say it in their way. Mm. What effect does it have on their confidence?
They grow in confidence. Some of them can be shy at the beginning to narrate, but they definitely grow in confidence.
If I remember correctly, that narration is also held as a responsibility of the teachers as well, so that in a training session, the same thing would be asked of the teachers.
Yes, it is. We practice what we preach.
So, tell us about a special occasion you have at the end of the year, like a function, etc. Tell us about that, because that's where you can lay out a bit more about how the children have grown.
So at the Vine School, in the last week of the year, each class has a very formal lunch within the classroom with beautiful decor, good food, and we sit around a table. And during the lunch, each child is asked, or I would ask each child, what were they most thankful for during the year? And then the other question would be, in what area have you grown the most? And so they would tell back, it would either be maths or reading. I grew in perseverance. I grew in kindness. I grew in showing respect. I grew in manners.
Why is that? Why is that important to show growth in character and growth in a particular skill, like maths or reading? Why is it good to encourage that and that engagement?
Because we would be interested in the whole child and that they would grow in character and in skills.
Okay. So I'm sure we've got parents and grandparents sitting in. And by the way, we are both parents and grandparents, so it's interesting for us to apply this as best as we can as well without interfering with our kids. But what tips would you give to those parents and grandparents who are listening in, and how would you encourage the growth mindset? What would you say to those parents?
Well, I wish we had had the knowledge of the growth mindset when our children were little, but we have grandchildren, so we can practice it a little bit with them. But to parents and grandchildren, it's good to avoid praising talent.
Okay, so talent like this, the child is particularly good at playing tennis, or they are great at maths. So explain what you mean by to avoid praising the talent. Obviously, in the dearth of that, there's something that you do. So avoid praising talent, like an example?
Well, just to add on to that, so praising talent, or you brilliant, or you got an A without studying.
What a star.
Yeah. So we avoid that because it's proven, and Carol Dweck has done many studies in this, that when you praise a talent, if the child then fails at something, they would take that personally and would come to the conclusion that they're not smart.
Sure.
And in fact, they almost go backwards in their growth.
Wow. It has a negative effect upon them. Okay. What else can you avoid?
Yeah. Also, to not do the work for your child. That's very important, to develop growth strategies with them and to enjoy the process of learning. I think parents can get very fixated on the results,
yeah,
but it's really good to enjoy the process.
Yeah, I remember reading that in that book, Dale. So there's some stuff to avoid, and just to remind again, avoid praising talent and don't do the work for the child. Great stuff. But then what can they do? What can you do there?
Well, children do thrive on praise, so it would be good to praise the effort and the perseverance.
Okay.
Take note of kindness and respect in your child and encourage them to face challenges and then come alongside and develop a growth strategy with them.
Wonderful, wonderful. So this has been tested or played out over 9 years, is that correct? And
yes,
you've seen that. Every year you would get these lovely little darlings that would come into your classroom, and they'd be new faces to you. And sometimes they would be a much more boisterous bunch. Sometimes they'd be a cuter bunch, etc. But the principle of seeing them with a capacity to not be fixed because of with a fixed mindset, but there's an alternative. There's a way to grow. There's something that you can do. So if I was, and I'm going to play up a bit here a little bit, if I was a child, and listeners, you can imagine, you know, this could get dangerous, but if I was a child and you wanted me to, you'd seen me giving up on something. I tried to do chess, or I tried something on the computer, and I saw others just so at home with it, but I struggled with it and I didn't want to do it anymore. How would you encourage me?
Well, I would get alongside you and then try and point out the skills that would help you to accomplish what you were wanting to do, rather than just, let me do it quickly for you, but to lead,
okay,
to lead rather than to tell, and to lead in such a way that the child actually, or that you would discover it yourself.
You spoke about enjoying the process, helping them to enjoy the process, and we're talking about parents as well, not just the result, not just the end there. So how could you encourage a child to enjoy the process? What are some things you could say there?
Well, unfortunately, I think in our education system today, we are fixated on the results, which is actually quite sad. So it would have to be a decision actually made by parents, made by teachers, to enjoy the process of learning. We are all lifelong learners, and we should never stop learning. And so to get back to enjoying the process.
So if I remember correctly, when Carol was speaking about growth-minded kids and they were faced with more difficult maths problems, the ones who relied on their talent, etc., actually pulled away from them. The other ones said, gee, I don't know how to do this, but and they enjoyed it. They looked forward to it. They didn't shy away. And it's quite important possibly to note that and to encourage that, enjoy them taking on the challenge as well. So, Dale, the growth mindset is contrasted to the fixed mindset. And we've learned that all of us have got a little bit of both in us. And over time, we make choices and we grow through them. But what would be a quote? What would be a motto that you'd like to share with the listeners, that hopefully it will register with them and they'll say, I want to open the window of the growth mindset some more.
Okay. I have a quote here by Jose N. Harris. It says, "I may not be there yet, but I'm closer than I was yesterday."
Lovely. So because I haven't arrived doesn't mean give up, turn away, put it aside. And that yet, it's so important to inject that, but it promises what it can be. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dale, and appreciate you taking the time and doing something that evidences your willingness to embrace the growth mindset.
Very brave thing to do. It really is a very brave thing to do. And it was well structured. Well done, Steve, and you too, Dale. I do want to say this. There are a couple of things that while you were speaking that occurred to me. One of them is that we are very fortunate in our society to have teachers of your caliber. And I've often maintained that the most underpaid and under... I don't think they're really underappreciated, but they're certainly underpaid in many respects, are nursing folk and teachers.
Yeah.
And sometimes even taken for granted. And during COVID, I think that we really understood that most teachers have an inbuilt growth mindset. Because they pivoted, and a lot of them at their own cost, at their own, you know, their own expense. They were the ones.
Made sacrifices.
Yeah, they realized that what their purpose is to make sure that these kids get the education that they signed up for, and there was nothing going to stop them. And it took people like yourselves to actually do that pivoting to the technology. Some of them more comfortable with it, others a lot less. But, you know, even the technology for a grade R, to keep the attention span of a grade R on the other side of a computer when their little kitten has just run past, okay, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And that perseverance and finding ways to do that, I'm in awe of that. I really am. The other thing that I like about, is it the Vine?
Yes.
Okay. And about your approach to education is this. And I think that what we have in society, Steve, you can comment on this, is a, what's the right word I'm looking for? A tendency, possibly, as adults, to stifle the growth mindset quite quickly in young people. Mm-hmm. And I'd use this as an example. So you can give a three-year-old or four-year-old a broomstick, and that broomstick has endless possibilities. The broomstick is a horse. The broomstick is a sword. The broomstick is a million different things. Until they get into the education system, and then it becomes a broomstick.
That's it.
And nothing more.
Yeah.
And now that this kind of approach is being used at schools, it means that a broomstick has endless possibilities again. And I'm just using that as an example. And it opens up the mind to that growth. So I'm hoping that there's going to be a generation of people coming through behind us. What do you call us? Silver tripreneurs? What?
Silverpreneurs.
Silverpreneurs, yeah. Behind us that are going to have an inbuilt growth mindset because of the work that people like yourself, Dale, and others are doing. So take a bow. Take a bow. That's much I want to say.
I wanted to add to that that thing about kids, they can, their imagination can be amazing. Mm. I remember being in a room of about 80 to 100 adults, and we were about to start a three-day workshop. And the facilitator, he started with this. He said, "Hello," and he introduced himself, Jonathan something, and he said, "I wonder how many of you can sing." Now, this is 80 to 100 adults. Mm. Now, Richard, I can sing. Mm. I'm not, and I've sung in front of lots of people before. But I didn't put my hand up. And the question is why? Mm. Because everyone was thinking, what's the trick? Mm. What's going to happen? What happens?
Am I going to get caught out here?
Exactly. Yeah. And he said, you know, what would happen if I went into, and I'm going to use you, Dale, into Dale's classroom and said to five-year-olds, who can sing?
They all put their hand up.
And they start singing. They would just do it. Yeah. You know, so they don't they don't have limitations. And maybe, Richard, what you're saying is let's discover that joy again of what may be, what could be. How else could you look at it? One of the things we may not have emphasized, and I want to close with this, is that the growth mindset welcomes mistakes.
Mm.
It doesn't mean go out and make mistakes. It means that when mistakes are being made, there's stuff to be learned from it. That, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's not a declaration of your incompetence. It's more of, okay, I made a mistake in this. What can I learn from it? Again, going back to the process. I love the thought that some innovative businesses and companies, they say, if you are not making mistakes, you're not innovating enough. So may our listeners, our parents, grandparents, whoever, may you be on the cutting edge by inviting the growth mindset, saying yet, and not being thrown by making mistakes.
I think we should let a whole lot of five-year-olds loose in the corporate world and see see what happens. I think that, you know, I've also, you know, just become a grandfather 2 years ago. And this little fellow is starting to develop personalities. Now, you know, when the baby's a baby, it's a baby, you know, and there's not, but he's starting to develop this personality. And one of my greatest joys is watching him use something for completely different purpose for what it was designed.
And taking the pencil and putting it into the plug or the Wi-Fi.
You know, you'll have like a building block and you'll try and use it as a rake.
Yeah, you know,
it's just one of my greatest joys to watch him take something, have a look at it, and use it for completely the opposite purpose that it was designed for.
Wow.
And to their credit, his parents don't stop him.
Mm.
Unless it's dangerous, obviously, but they don't stop him. They let him just develop that, and I think that's amazing. So, yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. Yet is a big thing, and I think that that's the first word that every child should learn.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely amazing. Well done, both of you.
Thank you. And listeners, what do you have to gain by saying, let me open a page, a new page, on the growth mindset.
Mm.
And so thank you so much, Dale, for sharing today.
Very brave, Dale. Thank you very much for coming in and for being with us this afternoon. Folks, that was the Entrepreneur Zone. You can pick up the podcast on our website later on this evening, Steve Reed, and you can hear more from Dale. And you'll find his contact details on there if that is something that you want to follow up in particular on the growth mindset. Have a great 2 weeks, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks' time.
Exactly. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, listeners.